Luke chapter 7. I'm going to finish the sermon from this morning. Amen. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go back and preach the sermon from this morning. I was thinking about, you know, when was the last time that you did something that made Jesus scratch his head? And I'm not talking about doing something stupid now. I do that all the time. I heard Robert said something about last week. I said, I do that all the time. You know, Jesus looked down and said, why in the world did you do that? But I'm talking about as far as, like I said this morning, in this passage of Scripture, we're going to see where this man's faith made Jesus marvel. When's the last time we actually did something on faith that made Jesus just say, wow? And I want you to think about something before I get into reading this. Every time you see this, it's not a Jew. It's never a Jew. It's either a Samaritan or a Gentile, somebody that's really shouldn't even have any inkling on faith. The Jews should have known. I mean, they should have known. They had the word. They had the scripture. So Luke chapter 7, verse 1, if you're there, say amen. Now when he had all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant. Now that word centurion there means a Roman officer. This guy was a military man. He was in charge of some say 100, some say more than that. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. That's bad. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. The Jews said, this is a good man. This man's worthy for you to come and do this. Now listen, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Pretty good guy. Amen. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends unto him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter into under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And he turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Wow. And when they were sent, returning to the house, they found the servant whole that had been sick. At the point of death, better. At the point of death, better. That's my God, amen. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for the reading of your word, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us, God, as we try to expound on it for just a little while. God, give us the message. God, give us the thoughts. God, guide my mind. Guide my tongue. And God, help us, the Lord, to take something out of this passage of Scripture, God, and use it in our lives. God, I love you. I thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do right now, Lord. And we'll praise you for all you do, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is a strange individual back in that day. In our day, this is not too strange, but back in that day, in this time, understand something. The Roman soldier was some more kind of bad. The Roman soldier was an elite soldier. This man was a soldier. He had moved up in the ranks. He was over soldiers. And the Bible says he had a certain servant. Now remember what I preached the other night about the bond servant. Every time in the New Testament, this was a slave. This is not some servant. This is a slave that he had. And the Bible said that he loved this servant. Also, this man that was a Roman had regard for the Jewish nation. We find out that he loved the Jews. He, for some reason, he had kind of attached himself to the Jews. He had actually went so far and built them a synagogue. In other words, he built them a church. They thought a lot of this guy. And obviously, this man thought a lot of them, because when he got in trouble, he takes the Jewish people and he sends them. He said, you go get Jesus. I've heard of Jesus. You go get Jesus. At that time, I believe at that time, everybody had heard of Jesus, Chucky. I believe at that time, I'm telling you right now, if you lived at that time when Jesus was doing miracles, there ain't no way in the world you had not heard of Jesus. Everybody here has heard of Jesus. Everybody here knows about Jesus. So why did Jesus marvel at this man's faith? Just a little while. Don't you notice? Number one, it was a sightless faith. He had never seen Jesus. The Bible tells us that he came without seeing. The Bible says in verse 3, and when he had heard of Jesus, many people had seen what Jesus had done. He had heard about, maybe he had heard about Jesus healing the blind man. Maybe he had heard about Jesus healing the man at the pool of Siloam. Maybe he'd heard about Jesus raising Lazarus. We don't know. But all we do know is he had heard of Jesus. Amen. He was not there when Jesus touched the woman with the issue of blood. He was not there when he raised Lazarus. He had not seen Jesus do these miracles, but he had heard of Jesus. The Bible tells us, you know, he believed. The Bible says in John chapter 20, now listen to this. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. What kind of faith do you have? Well, I'm telling you right now, if the Lord just don't come down and show me this, well, guess what? You probably ain't going to get nothing done no how. I'm just saying, I thought about, you know, and I've used this story before. One night a house fire caught, and the man was trying to get everybody out of the house, Dallas, and he got everybody out but one young boy about 4 or 5 years old, and it was a two-story house, and the smoke was blazing, and the little boy was out on the ledge, and he said, his daddy said, jump, son, I'll catch you. He said, but I can't see you, daddy. He said, but I can see you, and that's all that matters. I remember doing this. I remember, and I remember taking Blake, and I would set Blake up on something high, sort of like that pulpit, and I would say, jump, and he'd sail off. You've probably done it. I'd put him back up there, Tony, and I'd back up a little bit. Jump, buddy. He'd sail off. And when I got to about what I thought his point was, I'm going to be honest with you, if I'd have backed up anymore, he'd have jumped anyhow. Why? Because he knew I would not let him fall. Sometimes we got to have sightless faith. Sometimes you got to just take it on faith. Say, God, I'm trusting you. I can't see the end. I don't know the end. And it really don't matter what I think the end's going to be. As long as I'm trusting in you, everything's going to be all right. It was a sightless faith, but it was a serving faith. Verse 3, and when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him elders of the Jews, beseeching them that he would come and heal his servant. He came on behalf of somebody else. He didn't send for Jesus on behalf of a need for him. I was thinking about it as I was studying this. Me and my wife talk about a lot about intercessory prayer. Understand something, folks? Every once in a while, you got to have faith for somebody else. That's why I believe the Lord laid on my heart this morning. At midnight, I'm coming back. You ain't got to come unless you want to. But at midnight, I'm going to be in this church. I'm praying for Johnny Hughes tonight. Amen. I'm going to try to intercede for Brother Johnny. I'm going to try to have a serving faith. I'm going to try to have a working faith. Understand? If you ain't got a serving faith and you ain't got a working faith, you ain't got no faith. You got to be a 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Not just your family, for all men. Not just your friends, but for all men. We got to have a serving type faith, folks. And if you got a serving type faith, you got a faith that'll go out and move. Acts chapter 7, verse 60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This was Stephen being stoned. And Stephen, being stoned, Preacher Trevor, has got an intercessory prayer on his lips for the ones killing him. When's the last time you spent some time on your knees for somebody else? I'm not talking about one of them now I lay me down to sleep type prayers either. I understand. I believe with all my heart. Brother Donald, I believe with all my heart. When we call out on God, hey, Elijah prayed a 63-word prayer and the fire of heaven fell. Amen. But every once in a while, man, I think we ought to get on our knees. And we ought to make time. We ought to call out for somebody else. Amen. This man was calling out for somebody else. Does anybody know about your faith? Do the people on your job know about your faith? Do the people in your family know about your faith? This man was a Roman soldier. Let's just go ahead and put this out there. He could have got in trouble for this. If this would have got back to Rome, if this would have got back to his superiors, he'd have probably been in trouble. But he didn't care. He had a servant that he loved, and he was sending for Jesus. Glory to God. Hey, I tell you right now, when you get something going on in your house, Josh, we don't have a problem sending for Jesus. Amen. It was a sightless faith. It was a servant faith. But Jesus marveled because it was a strong faith. Notice what the Bible says, verse 7 and 8. Therefore, neither I thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto them, go, and he goeth, and to one another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. What he was saying right there, he said, I am a man under authority, and what I say goes. And then what he said, but Jesus, you got all authority. And just like what I say goes in my house, what you say goes everywhere else. Glory to God. Hey, all you got to do is say the word. All you got to do is say the word. That's a strong faith right there, folks. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus said, all authority, all power is given unto me. And you got to understand something. You got to know where your faith lies. You got to know where your faith is. My faith is not in the bank. My faith is not in the doctrine. My faith is not in everything. My faith is in God alone, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that died on the cross for me. He had that strong faith. He said, Lord, all you got to do is speak the word. And Jesus backed up and said, wow. Sarge, when's the last time Jesus backed up and looked at you and said, wow, look how Sarge is acting. Operating on faith. What you got going on in your life right now? What do you need God to move on right now? See, the problem is a lot of times if we're not careful, we pray prayers like, Lord, I know you can. 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 When was the last time you prayed, Lord, I know you will. Amen. Lord, I know you will. I'm just going to go ahead and praise you right now, God. I'm going to go ahead and give you credit for what I ain't even seen you do. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, it ain't faith. If you can see it, it ain't faith. This man had a strong faith, and it marveled Jesus. Jesus also marveled because it was a submissive faith. Then Jesus went with him. And when he was not now far from the house, the centurion sent friends unto him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter into my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you. See, the problem is that self thinks we're worthy. Oh, yeah, I'm the pastor of the church. I preach 3 times a week. I go and visit the sick. I go to the hospital. Lord, you know what I do. Lord, you know what I do. Lord, I need you to come down and take care of this. Lord, I've been serving on our deacon board for 15, 20 years. Lord, I've been teaching Sunday school, God. I've been singing for you, Lord. Lord, I've been faithful to church, God. I've been writing my tithes out. Lord, you know I've been writing my tithes out, God. Lord, you know I've been faithful. Lord, I believe you owe me this. If we ain't careful, that's how we pray sometimes. This man said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to even come to my house. Lord, Lord, I don't even think I'm worthy for me to come to you. Now let me back up. Now remember what I said. This guy loved the Jews. This guy built him a church. It'd be about like somebody coming by, Tony. It'd be about like somebody coming by and say, listen, how much y'all own that Life Center? And we tell them whatever it is and say, let me write y'all a check. Paid in full. And then calling us up next week and say, hey, I need y'all to pray for me. Y'all know what I've done for you. You know I paid that Life Center off now. I need somebody to get in touch with God. You're just wasting your time. If we're not careful, we get to patting ourselves on the back because we think we're worthy. And because this man was humble, because this man was submissive, because this man had the right attitude when he went to Jesus, when he sent for Jesus, he got his prayer answered. It was a sufficient faith. Well, let me back up just a minute. What you going to do when God says no? Anybody ever prayed a prayer and God said no? How'd you handle that? See, that just throws a cog in everything. We don't like to hear that kind of message. We don't want to, preacher, you need to move on. You need to find something else to preach on. But, you know, that just messes up my theology. That really messes up my theology, preacher. I'm one of them to, you know, the seed faith, the promise faith. I think we ought to just be able to, you know, speak it and it come into existence. I know what the Lord said. I know that he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. I understand that. I understand what he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. And when we can bind anything down here, we can bind it. I understand it. But every once in a while, God says no. He told Mary and Martha no. They sent for Jesus. Lazarus was dying. Lazarus was in. And Jesus said, no, I ain't coming. He told Job no. Job prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Let me ask you a question. Is your faith submissive enough to go with what he tells you? What if he didn't touch you? What if you were still in all that depression and everything? Would you still love him? Think about that. Miss Floyd, what if you wasn't able to come to church like you can right now? Would you still love him, and would you still be able to raise your hands? See, the thing about it is, what if he don't touch Brother Johnny? I'm praying that he will. But what if he don't? I'm going to tell you right now, I believe Brother Johnny's going to praise him anyhow. So you got to understand, we've got to have a submissive faith. But that faith has got to be submissive to the point where, Lord, whatever you say, I'm going with it. But understand something, it was a sufficient faith. His desire was granted. Verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. And like I said this morning, Jesus never spoke the word. You know he thought it, because the guy got healed, or the servant got healed, amen. Jesus said, I've never seen this kind of faith. No, not in Israel. I like it when God just gives you stuff. He said, I've never seen this kind of Chucky. No, not in Israel. In other words, he said, no, not ever in Israel have I seen this kind of faith. In other words, when Elijah prayed down fire from heaven, it wasn't this kind of faith. I'm telling you right, when Noah stepped out and Noah built the ark in Israel, it wasn't this kind of faith. He said, Lord, I'm not a member of your religion. I I am not a member of your nation, but I got enough faith to know that if you'll speak the word, everything's going to be all right. And it marveled Jesus enough that Jesus just had a thought, and it meant the man got healed. I wish I had that kind of faith. That Jesus would sit up there at the right hand of the Father saying, wow, would you look at that? I told somebody the other day, I said, sometimes I feel so strong, I feel like I could charge hell with a water pistol. And sometimes I feel so weak, I feel like hell could beat me down with a water pistol. Sometimes I feel like my faith is like that too. What kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith do you have? Sir Winfred Greenfell was a missionary. And one day he found himself on a piece of ice floating out to sea. He had his dogs with him. And y'all might not like this story, but it's, you do what you got to do. He had his dogs with him, Brother Tony. It was freezing, and he killed his dogs, took their hides, and made him a coat. He said he laid down and went to sleep. Somebody said, why'd you lay down and go to sleep? He said, because I've done all I could do. The rest of it was left up to God. When you've done all you can do, don't expect God to kick in till you've done all you can do. Amen? When this man sent for Jesus. Jesus was on the way. He had done all he could do. And Jesus took care of the need. What kind of faith do we have, folks? I mean, really. I mean, we talk about faith and we can say we got faith, but what kind of faith do we really have? When something happens, do we fall apart? I just don't know what in the world I'm going to do. Or do you face it? Well, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. See, we're one or the other. This man heard of Jesus. He had a sightless faith. He had a strong faith. Understand something, folks. Things are going to come our way. We're going to be faced with things right now in the next little while. I don't believe God lays messages on my heart like this unless we're going to be faced with some things. And you're going to be faced with some things, and our faith is going to be tested. And you don't really know how good something is until it's tested. Amen? So what kind of faith do you have? I want you to bow your heads with me.